Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Connecticut. What's going on, Sports City? Thursday night, roundtable gumball. You know how it is. We bring you all kinds of spice. That's what my co-host, who never ever pulls punches, and sharing his opinions with everybody. You know, the United States, Mr. Chandler. What's going on, Chandler? How are you feeling this evening?
Yeah, Mike, you coming through really garbled.
Okay, that should be fixed very soon. I'm almost to the house, so we should be having a much better connection here.
All righty. I'm good. I'm just tired, so let's talk about this nonsense that's going on in the NBA and everywhere else.
Does that sound just as garbled? Yep, I'm here. Does that sound just as garbled?
No, but you're really low, but it's because you're in the car, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I'll be back to the house soon, probably like two turns away. Yeah, lots of nonsense going on in the NBA. The other thing that I want to do tonight, because we are actually right at the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season, so to take a little bit of time, kind of go through each of these teams, what we've seen, what we're surprised by, what we're not surprised by, what we feel like we were right about, what we were wrong about, kind of a halfway, you know, go to the locker room report card for Major League Baseball today. A little bit of talk about the NBA free agency. And, of course, in just a couple minutes when I get to a much better connection so I can make sure that it's real, real clear, I got to give shout-out to my LSU Tigers winning the College World Series National Championship in baseball. So, Chandler, you mentioned nonsense in the NBA, so I'm going to kick it to you and let you start. What jumps out at you and what are you identifying as nonsense right now?
Well, you know, it's the whole thing with the Sixers and Harden. First of all, you knew you didn't want this man from jump. So rather than just say, you know what, James, it was fun, it was great, but, you know, we don't want you. You keep telling, oh, we want you. So he opts in, and you immediately start looking to trade him. See, I'm no fan of James Harden, but this is what I hate what teams do. You knew you didn't want this man. So why are you constantly telling him you want him so you can turn around and trade him when you knew you didn't want him? There was no way that you could bring James Harden back to this team. Not at the numbers that he's going to require. And I guess his agents or whatever put out feelers around the league, and he found out ain't a whole lot of options for him. Don't a whole lot of people want no dude who thinks he's going to bounce the ball for 23 seconds and then pass to somebody like, okay, you make the shot. That's not how it works, man. The fact that you complained after basically quitting in game 6 and 7, after no showing in game 6 or 7, the fact that you complain is, well, I got to be me. No, you got to help the team win. That's what's most important. not you. Stop it. Not you being you. Sorry, the dog decides. Anytime I'm on the phone, the dog decides that she needs to be a part of it. It don't make sense. And now they're talking about the Clippers and the Knicks supposed to have. Why would the Knicks want James Harden? See, this is why I always say the Knicks are never going to be any good. Why are you chasing James Harden? James Harden doesn't fit with that team. You don't need James Harden. You need Damian Lillard. You need DeAndre Ayton. You don't need James Harden. You already have a point guard. His name is Jalen Brunson. You have a two guard that you're overpaying and R.J. Barrett. So where exactly is Harden going to play? He can't play the three, he can't play the two, and he can't play the one because those slots are already filled. But, hey, what do I know? I'm just some guy, you know, sitting in front of a phone talking about the NBA, but it's ridiculous. I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense to me. You got Harrison Barnes just got 3 years and $54 million. Come on, man. Come on, man. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't do it. You giving Harrison Barnes $54 million. I can't do it.
$54 million. Hey, listen. I'm almost to a point where I'm in the house right now, so I'm going to get off the wireless earbuds and switch to some cords and see if that makes a big difference as well. But I'm at the house, so we should be much more clear in just a quick moment. So, Chandler, if you can stall us for about 20 more seconds.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the Pelicans, they declined the team option on Herb Jones' contract, which doesn't make sense. So now you want to try to negotiate with him when you already declined him, and now there's other people out there that he could sign with who are going to give him money because Herb Jones is a really good young player, okay? It's I don't know, man. The sheer stupidity of some of these general managers, the Lakers aren't bringing back Mo Bamba. You're not bringing back Malik Beasley. I think they should have brought back Mo Bamba. I don't think he got near enough run as he should have, especially on those nights where Anthony Davis decided he didn't feel like showing up. So it's interesting. And, of course, Ben Simmons is sitting out more games. He's not going to play for Australia in the World Cup. He said he's going to focus on his recovery. And the thing is, I've never been a guy who bashed Ben Simmons because I always knew what he was. Ben Simmons was the guy who went to LSU instead of major programs the 1 year he went to college. He went to LSU.
Hey, not too much on LSU. Not too much.
Listen, they had a bad team. They had a terrible cheating coach, okay? And they didn't make the damn tournament. He was content being a big fish in a small pond. That's who he is. That's who he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to accept players for who they are.
You can win championships at LSU.
What?
You can win championships at LSU. You can win championships at LSU.
Dude, I cannot hear you. Oh, I hear you.
I said you can win championships at LSU.
Not in basketball, you can't. Not with that coach that you had. The hell you could.
Not with that coach, but you can win at LSU.
Okay, tell me the last time LSU won an NCAA championship in men's basketball.
Never have. They've been to the Final Four a few times, though.
Okay, they didn't win when they had Shaq and Stanley Roberts. Miss me with you can win at LSU in basketball. Miss me with that.
If you can win in every other sport, you can win in basketball if you got the right team and the right program. They're not a blue
Shaq
blood.
And Stanley Roberts.
Yes, they were staggering.
And you didn't win.
Exactly. That doesn't mean that you can never win a national championship there.
LSU will never win a national championship.
You can win there just as well as you can win at any other major conference school. They won at Virginia.
No, you can't.
They won at Villanova. People thought they would never win there.
No one ever thought Villanova would never win because Villanova had already been to a Final Four, and everyone knows Villanova was a top-flight program. LSU is not a top-flight basketball program. I understand that you love LSU. Get over it. LSU's never winning a national championship.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now. If you line up the best five from a program and starting five, the five that you would come up with from LSU would compete against most other schools.
But they wouldn't win a national championship, so it doesn't matter how well they compete.
They haven't had the right coach and the right program in place. You can win that. You come from a major conference program. People thought Florida could never win there either until Billy Donovan got two of them. Right? So
is going to coach at LSU.
Well, maybe not in your lifetime, or maybe not in mine, but there will be a time to see. Listen, but I'll be honest with you. I'll take the baseball championships. I think they will contend again in the near future for a football national championship. I like what Kim Mulkey's done with the basketball program on the women's side, too. It's not a bad time of year to be an LSU fan. So what if the basketball program is going to suck for a few years? But if you have the right people in place, and you have the right facilities, and you got the right name, image, and likeness, you can win at a major conference in college basketball.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what delusional fandom is. You're hearing it right now. This is why Knick fans are just – this is why I don't deal with Knick fans, and I'm going to have to stop dealing with LSU fans. So let's move on to something else. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I mean, listen. We can have differences of opinion and see things from different perspectives. But there have been, go back and look over the last several years. It's not always blue bloods that are winning championships and they're contending in college basketball. You have the right plan in place. They came really close several years ago with a bunch of local products. They made the Final Four and played pretty well. Didn't win it. But
that horse is a bloody mess now, bro.
So, looking around, speaking of LSU College World Series this past weekend, fantastic tournament. The last two games were bloodbaths on either side between LSU and Florida, though. The best game of the tournament may have been the Thursday night elimination game against Wake Forest. You had two guys who were top 10, probably top 10 picks in next week's draft on the mound. LSU made a really good defensive play late to save the game and won 2-0 in 11 innings. Those were the only two teams ranked number one all year, and they met in one side of the bracket. But LSU gets their seventh national title. They had two of the three Golden Spikes Award finalists were there from LSU. One was from Florida. This is the first time that a Golden Spikes Award winner also was a national champion. First time since Mark Coxay in 1995. So College World Series, there's a lot more professional talent. And I'm telling you, Chandler, when you go back and look after next week, the first couple rounds of the draft, you're going to see a lot more guys coming from college baseball than from high school. The percentage is going to be a lot higher from college than it has been over the last several years. I think name, image, and likeness are starting to have a piece to that. And some kids are wanting to go enjoy the college lifestyle for a little bit. And if you go in the right conference, you can still develop your game and get better. But there will be
the problem with that is, here's my problem with college baseball. You got pitchers throwing 156 pitches in games. They're blowing these guys' arms out. That should never be allowed. No college pitcher should ever throw more than 110 pitches in a game. So I'm not feeling college baseball at all, because it happens too. That's not a one off. It happens a lot, where these coaches are basically abusing these kids that nobody has anything to say about it.
Well, I think it depends on the program. LSU got this schemes kid and pitched him one game a week. He pitched one time on regular 4 days rest in the College World Series, but he pitched one game a week. And they intentionally did not wear this kid's arm out because of the major league potential that this guy has. So you're right.
Okay, but that's one program out of many that do it. So, I got no use for college baseball while they continue to allow these programs to abuse these kids' arms. I don't.
It's being policed a lot more than it was a decade or two ago, and there's a lot more major league talent in college baseball than there was even a decade ago. I will say that. Fine, you don't have any use for it. I'm still going to mention the championship, and we can move on to another topic and keep that pushing on. So I'm hearing about an NBA free agency. You know, I heard you talking about Lillard earlier. I have heard that Fred VanVleet from Toronto, people are really willing to pay up for him. I've heard as much as maybe Houston being willing to pay $80 million over 2 years because they think a good point guard could accelerate the development of those kids. Not sure what I think about that, but they do have a lot of room. The Atlanta Hawks finally traded John Collins this past week to the Utah Jazz to try to free up some space to make some things work. So lots of trades, lots of free agency sort of happening in NBA. So come Friday, I guess tomorrow, and over the next couple of days, pressure should be pretty hot as far as guys going different places. You mentioned the Lakers earlier. I think they're initial two things that they're going to try to do. They gave qualifying offers to Aiden Reeves and Rudy Hachimura. Austin Reeves. When I say Aiden Reeves, that's a wrestler. Austin Reeves and Rudy Hachimura. So they gave qualifying offers to those guys so they can try to match. I think depending on what the market does on Russell, they may try to bring him back. Did you say Mo Bamba was rumored to have signed somewhere else already?
Yeah, they're going to decline the options on Bamba, or they're going to let Bamba and Beasley walk, which I think, go ahead.
No, I'm listening. You were saying your thoughts on them letting Bamba and Beasley walk?
I understand that, listen, Malik Beasley, I think, is serviceable. I don't know what they're trying to do, but I think Bamba, I think you need to keep him on the roster because, honestly, who you got is a big man behind Anthony Davis. And you need a big man behind Anthony Davis. But maybe they're going to go out and get somebody else. I don't know. Mike, you still there? Mike.
Yeah,
you
I was
have
still
lost
talking
Mike
on you.
For some reason.
No, I was talking on
okay.
you. No, I agree with you. I think, though, that just because they don't necessarily send an offer, they could still have rights to, you know, we'll see if he communicates with them. You know, go see what people are willing to offer you out there, bro. Like, and come back to let us know. Who knows if they open up dialogue, maybe they'll match, maybe they'll meet. We'll see. I do think that Obama would be a key piece on this roster. I think if you could get him at a relatively cheap price, I think Malik Beasley could be too. I know that he fell out of the rotation in the playoffs, and I can understand why. But over the course of the regular season, you're not always going to have your frontline guys ready. So having a guy that can come off the bench and when he gets hot, really shoot a bunch of threes. There were a few games after the All-Star break when guys wasn't hitting or they had a couple guys out that Beasley pretty much kept them in the game or, you know, shot them to victory from three-point range. So I can understand not matching these, though, because I feel like they probably are prioritizing Reeves and Rui Hachimura and Russell over these guys, but I would not be surprised to see them kind of still kick the tires or try to stay in touch with these guys to see what they're being offered or to see if they'll still let them kind of in on things.
Barry's here, but before we bring Barry in, I just want to say this one thing. They're talking about the Lakers have interest in Brook Lopez. Why? Where is he going to play? You can't have Lopez, LeBron, and Anthony Davis in your front court. It's ridiculous.
Brook, Brooke Lopez is in it. He was in LA once. He will not be back. Villain, how you doing this evening? And what you bringing to the round table this evening? What's up, man?
Villain, what's up, boys? Good to hear your voice, Chandler. I listened to the show last week, and I heard that little slight to UConn and Jordan Hawkins. So I got heat for you, brother. But much love. I love you. UConn, we won the national championship, I thought. Yeah, national champs. Four times. Five times national champ. No, listen, Mo Bamba and they're gonna decline their option, but I think they're gonna try to get Reeves. They're gonna try to get Hachimura because those are two high priority guys. And then what I heard is that they'll come back around and see if they can get them on cheaper deals.
Yeah, that's
Bamba was at $10 million. I mean, that $10 million ain't that much, but because the Players Association allowed them to basically institute a hard cap. $10 million from Obama,
right,
which is very reasonable, is now too expensive.
Yeah, and it's like a two-day window, right, Chandler? So you have until July 1st or July 2nd until that new CBA agreement kicks in. So you can go higher on Reeves and Hachimura and then probably get them for a mid-level depending on the scale, right? If you're at the
If you use the mid-level exception, you're screwed because that's where the hard cap kicks in.
Well, you have a mid-level, right? You have a mid-level until you hit the second apron. If you hit the second apron, you don't have a mid-level anymore. And the first apron seven, I think, before the first apron is $10 million.
Dude, the Players Association, I don't know how they screw their players like this. This is basically a hard cap. It's a hard cap.
It's a hard cap without a hard cap. You're absolutely right. But you can thank Ben Simmons for this, essentially, because he got his money and then he didn't want to play again. So they were like, oh, that's
okay,
how you want to play the game? Hard cap.
Okay, but again, we're blaming players for stupid organizations. Again, and I said this earlier, I knew who Ben Simmons was in college. If all of these supposed experts in the NBA didn't know who Ben Simmons was, that's their fault. That's their fault.
But these guys are getting paid before they really prove that they're max players because they're afraid to lose these guys. You know what I mean? So now they pay these guys like Simmons. They paid Kyrie Irving, and then they basically are in breach of contract because they don't want to play. Or they want to run off and have a birthday party instead of getting on the court and playing. So the league is striking back. Because the empire strikes back. And this is what you get, without a hard cap.
Did Dennis Rodman get as much criticism for being on Monday Night Nitro back in the day?
But that was like one day?
Yeah,
Ben Simmons didn't want to play for 2 years.
Listen, I have a hard cap in place of number of times that I'm willing to talk about Ben Simmons on this show. And you guys mentioned him enough that you guys have already exceeded my cap, and I'm not paying luxury tax on that bump. So,
but he went to LSU. He went to LSU. He's great. He went to LSU.
No, he was not great at LSU. He was a bum at LSU. He thought he was much better than anything that that school tried to do, and a lot of the reason why they did not make the NCAA tournament that year was because of his lack of interest in actually being a good teammate. Because there was enough talent on that roster to make an NCAA tournament. Now, there was not enough talent on that roster to get out of the first weekend if they made the NCAA tournament. But they could have made the tournament with that roster. There was enough.
Yeah, Barry, in case you didn't know, this is a continuation of him not being willing to accept the fact that LSU is never going to win a national championship because he's a crazy LSU fan. And, you know, I have offended him, and he's kind of hurt right now, so he's striking back. But LSU's never going to win a national championship.
All I'm saying is we can definitely agree to disagree, but in a major conference, with major funding resources like LSU has, the stars could line up in such a way that you could win a title. They can, they've been able to win in every other sport. So I would not bet on it happening anytime soon. As the other sports are coming up right now, college men's basketball is the one that's really kind of getting the shaft, and a lot of it is because of some bad coaching decisions made and bad hires previously, and it's going to take a while to get out of it. But I'm not willing to say, and we can, once again, we can agree or disagree, but I'm not willing to say that there's no way in the world that LSU could ever win a national championship in college basketball. Just don't believe it. I can be, you can call me delusional and a crazy fan all you want, but what I can tell you is when it comes to sports, I can look at things subjectively and not just look at things through fan-colored glasses. So what I would like to do is go to the diamond for a little while, and let's kind of do sort of mid-season report cards.
You don't want to talk about James Harden?
Chandler says he opts in, then the organization wants to trade him. I feel like the organization trying to trade him is a mutual thing. I don't think Harden really wanted to be back in Philly again next year either.
Well, I think what happened is they tried to work the deal, and basically Philly's like, I'm not giving you max money. Harden's like, I want my bread. And they said, well, get it somewhere else. That's essentially what I heard, that they couldn't work out a deal and he wants his money. So I think this is a stroke of luck for the Sixers, because not only do they get to opt in this guy, but now they get to get trade assets, maybe a first-round pick, but then maybe another player, like, you know, I'll keep bringing up Damian Lillard. Maybe they can work out a three-team deal, get that merry-go-round going. But they were forced to bring Harden back because of the contract that he signed and the fact that they got rid of the coach to bring this guy. All signs point they had no choice to bring this guy back. Now they don't have to bring him back. I think it's great.
I just don't know that you have another team in the NBA that's willing to meet that asking price either. That paid James Harden what he thinks he's worth.
It sounds like the Clippers.
I don't see who would trade for James Harden.
What do you say, James?
I don't see who would trade for James Harden. I don't. Again,
Clippers.
There are a lot of clowns sitting in GM chairs in the NBA, so someone's going to trade for him. But in reality, there's no way in hell I'm trading for James Harden at $36.5 million. For him to come in there and pout and quit on my team when he doesn't get to be the focal point. Like, I don't understand why Houston wants to bring him in, but like I said before, you know, there's some guys that are coaching in this league that maybe shouldn't be coaching. Because if Ime Udoka thinks that James Harden's going to play hard for him, the Ime Udoka needs to go back to grabbing booty in the office. Okay? He needs to concentrate on that, not basketball. James Harden wants to do what James Harden wants to do. So why in the hell would I bring him into my organization at this point? He's shown me who he is. Believe him.
I think he leaves the league in forced trades, right? I think this would be his third or fourth. Fourth trade. I totally agree with you guys. There shouldn't be a team that would want to trade for this guy, but there is going to be a team that trades for this guy, and I think it's going to be the Clippers, to be honest with you. I think he's going to be a Clipper. They have expiring contracts. They have a stadium, a new arena to fill seats with. They got two guys that typically aren't available, one more so than the other. I think bringing this guy in gives you kind of insurance against those guys, because they're free agents in 2025, I think it is. So either way, I think you're moving into a new arena, and I think you got to make box office, especially with the Lakers on the other side of town. So the Clippers will be dumb enough to do it.
So if we mention this guy, let me mention the other one really quick. Kyrie Irving, free agent. Some people say he might try to go somewhere else. Some people say he's going to re-sign in Dallas. What are you guys' thoughts on Kyrie Irving?
Sacramento. He needs to go to Sacramento, and I'm being serious. That's a good young team. It's a really good young team. They're well coached. He needs to go somewhere where people are just going to accept him for who he is as long as he plays well. Those Sacramento Kings fans, there are certain fan bases. They don't give a damn what you did somewhere else. Okay? They don't care. When you play for them, you're theirs, and you're theirs for life. Portland is like that. Seattle is like that. Cleveland is like that when you talk about football. When you talk baseball, Oakland is like that. If he goes to Sacramento and they can give him the four-year deal he wants, right, and he makes them relevant, they make the playoffs every year, Kyrie Irving will be loved forever. He will finally be in a place where the fans love him unconditionally, which is what he's looking for, by the way. What all the things that you can say about him, the one thing that you know, if he wants people to just accept him, they don't care what he says. They don't care what he posts. They don't care what he do. He won't take his time off. It's fine. Long as we make the playoffs, because that town is starved for playoffs. Honestly, I think he should go to Sacramento and finish out his career in Sacramento.
I get what you're saying. I don't think it's a bad move because they're one of the few teams that have cap space, but they just re-upped Harrison Barnes. Like, they just agreed to a 3-year extension for almost $60 million. I think it's $54 million. So that cap space is drying up quick. So the only way they would get him is to sign and trade, and I don't know if they're willing to do that unless they want to use Harrison Barnes in a sign and trade to Dallas, right? So I honestly feel like he needs to run it back in Dallas. I said it last night on the Callers Cookout, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with TP Timeless in the Village, shameless plug. He wasn't the problem in Dallas. He played. He was a malcontent in Brooklyn. He was a pain in the butt. When he couldn't get his money, couldn't get an extension, he demanded a trade. But when he went to Dallas, he was a good soldier. He was a good trooper. It's Luka Doncic that's the problem. Luka needs to wake up. He needs to grow up. He needs to be a leader. He needs to get in shape. He needs to, he needs to kind of give of himself a little bit from, like, is it okay if you don't score 27, 9 points and 9 rebounds a game? You could do 25, 9 and 8 or what have you. Give up some of those points. And share the basketball instead of holding the ball until 1 second in the shot clock and then passing it. I think his game needs to evolve to learn how to play with Kyrie. And I think he needs to be more of a leader and be held accountable in this league because he kicked away with murder. He came in out of shape. His body language, the way he kind of interacts with referees, he is the problem in Dallas. So I think Kyrie needs to run it back. I don't think there's a lot of teams. He wants meetings with the Suns. That's not happening. You talk about the Pacers and the Magic that have cap space. Those aren't teams he wants to go to. So I think he needs to go back to Dallas.
The only thing that I would take with the Sacramento thing is, what does that do with the future of, or how does that impact Fox? If he goes in there, because De'Aaron Fox is a legit superstar.
I think it helps him because Kyrie can play off the ball. We've seen him do that. We've seen him play off the ball. Now, put those two in the backcourt together. Dude.
And I think Kyrie is smart enough to figure out how to play off the ball with a player like De'Aaron Fox, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's that selfish of a player that I got to get mine. Like, Luka is that selfish of a player that I got to get mine to hell with everybody else. De'Aaron Fox and Kyrie Irving is a dangerous backcourt. That's probably one of the better backcourts in the league if you put those two together. I just don't know if Sacramento now has what they need to make that deal work. And like I said, it has to be a sign and trade right now. And I don't know if they're going to want to give up anything. I think they're still trying to get Kyle Kuzma on the free agency. So I don't know what's going to happen. It would be interesting. It's not crazy to think that Sacramento is a place where people would want to go, because outside of a 50-burger in Game 7, that Sacramento Kings team is making a serious run in the playoffs. So they're on the come, like the Thunder are on the come. So I wouldn't be surprised if that, something like that went down.
So I want to jump around and hit baseball for the last 25 minutes. Also, don't forget PHI Apparel. That's phiapparel.co. Use the promo code STEPS at checkout. Get 15% off any of your Philly clothing needs. Go ahead and buy the James Harden jerseys before it moves out. The Phillies are starting to find their The Phillies are starting to find.
But Mike, one thing I got to say about Harden, if the Knicks trade for this guy, I quit. I'm done. I won't be able to take it. That is huge.
Sports City. I just heard Barry say that if the Knicks trade for James Harden, his New York fandom will be a thing of the past. So we'll see if he adopts the Brooklyn Nets or what happens. Hopefully that doesn't happen because listen, transitioning from a lifelong team to another team can be a really tough process. And so I'm happy to be here for my brother.
I won't transition to another team. I don't transition to new teams. I just won't root for a team. You got to put your foot down.
929-477-2759 is our call number. We got about 25 minutes here. So what I'd like to do is go around the diamond really quickly. Let's go division by division, boys. We'll start I'm going to cater to the two guys that I'm in the show with right now. We'll start in the American League East. Impressions on that division or teams that you see in that division. I'll start with you, Barry. With the American League East, what are your thoughts halfway through this baseball season?
Best division in baseball, top to bottom. The Baltimore Orioles are a pleasant surprise. I think that fan base, like I said a couple weeks ago, have been starving for a winning team. So I'm really happy that they're starting to pull it off, because Baltimore is a good baseball town. They got a lot of history with their team. The Rays are kind of coming down to earth a little bit, because you look at them, they're kind of neck and neck with the Braves for best record in the league. The Yankees just got to get healthy. The Jays are scuffling a little bit. I think they're a real big underachievement in my eyes. I don't know how you guys feel, Chandler. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like they should be better than what they are right now. And I kind of feel the same way with Boston. I didn't expect them to be as good. I felt like they were going to be the worst team in the division, but to see them around 500 is kind of like shocking to me. So top to bottom, best division in baseball.
So I agree with you, Chandler. I'm going to hit this and then come to you. I thought Boston would be the last place team in this division. I was right on this. I may have been wrong on Baltimore. We'll see. We got another half of the season for this to come through. I said that I thought Baltimore would be good, but then maybe take a little bit of a step back this year before they take a bigger step forward next year. I may have been wrong on them. This team's good. Big Tyler Wells has really kind of settled in as a good pitcher. To me, the question is, will Baltimore do anything to acquire any more pitching? At the deadline, you're seeing more prospects come up for them. That Jordan Westberg kid just came up this week. But future's real bright in Baltimore, man. They got guys that do it the right way. And I think that they are clearly one of the best two teams right now in the best division in baseball. Yankees are a third-place team right now. We keep saying, can they get everybody healthy? And I don't know. I think getting this group of Yankees healthy is almost like seeing Santa Claus come down the chimney. As far as the Blue Jays, man, that offense has been good, but, when your eighth pitcher, Manoah, gets sent down to instructional, he didn't get sent to AAA, AA, single A, nothing. He got sent down to the spring training instructional site to revamp what he was doing. He was supposed to be your best pitcher. Kevin Gausman has been really good for them, and Kikuchi has been good. But outside of that, Chris Bassett's been struggling lately. Jose Berrios has found it a little bit, but this team struggles in the pen still, and just pitching-wise, they just can't pitch enough in Toronto. But this is a team that could still get hot and go on a win streak. But everybody in this division at or above 500. To your point, Tampa is kind of coming back down. But we'll see over the course of the second half. It should be exciting. Chandler, your thoughts on the American League East?
Well, I'll start with the Orioles, who I told you would be in second place in the American League East. They have a good young team. They have a good young farm system. They have a good manager. They're finally well run. So Baltimore's not a shock to me. Excuse me. I like what Toronto did with Manoah. I said before the season that Manoah had gotten the big head, and I expected him to fall on his face. They sent him down because he's not listening. He thinks he's better than he is. He thinks he don't have to put in the work. Oh, I'm Alec Manoah. I could just get on a mound. Dude, you got drug and rookie ball. You got drug and rookie ball. Now they have his attention. Mm-hmm. See, now they have his attention. Hopefully, Alec Manoah has a big mouth. I ain't got a problem with that. He plays for Toronto. Okay. He is a great young pitcher if he's willing to take his ego out of the equation. We'll find out. The Yankees are a 300 and some odd million dollar third place team. I'm tired of if they get healthy. They're missing two guys. They're missing two players. They're missing Rodon and they're missing Judge. Everybody else is healthy. Everybody else is healthy. So if you have truly built a championship team, and a championship team is not just your 26-man roster, it's your player development system, which has only produced three impact players in 25 years, don't tell me you got a championship team. So the Yankees are a $300 million third-place team. Thank you, Brian Cashman. The Rays are the Rays, and Boston, I don't know what Boston is doing. Until they get rid of the general manager they have, they're going to suck. Their player development has gone in the tank. Because remember, for a long time, Boston was bringing up good young players. And they brought in Heim Bloom, and that all went, I don't know what the hell happened. So It is what it is. But listen, I'm really happy for Baltimore. I'm happy for Orioles fans. I'm tired of that family that runs the team, the Angelo sisters. Running that team into the ground. They deserve a good team in Baltimore. So I look forward to seeing them in the playoffs.
Yeah, me too.
So
listen, the Yankees are a mess. And, you know, you're right, two guys are unhealthy. I mean, I said it last night. Like, I would Alex Rodriguez, Donaldson. I don't care that he had an almost 500-foot bomb tonight. Like, you give him one game to ride off in the sunset, and then you DFA that guy. I'm done watching that guy.
So let's go to the worst division in baseball this year. The American League Central right now, the Minnesota Twins and Cleveland Guardians are both fighting for first place in this division. The Twins, man, like, listen, we've talked about this multiple times. Trade one of the premier contact hitters in baseball, and now their offense is going to set a record for most strikeouts by a team in a season. They trade Pablo Lopez, who looks good, but then when you start digging into the numbers, you know, at best, he's a number three or four starter. They got some other guys on this team to possibly be able to contend, and this is a division that is very winnable. The Cleveland Guardians, man, without Tristan McKenzie, that's just not the same team. They really need him to anchor that rotation. There's a lot of talent in I know the question is, is this team going to sell off some pieces at the trade deadline? I think is what I'm looking for. The White Sox, Detroit, Riley Green going down doesn't help them. Spencer Torgelson's starting to show a little bit of signs at first base. But this team is still a couple of years away. Edwin Rodriguez injury was kind of unfortunate for them because That might have been a good chip for them at the trade deadline as far as something that they could trade. Kansas City, second worst team in baseball, you know, for the record. So they got a long way to go, but a lot of on-the-job training. But this division is just about shaken out the way I expected. I thought Cleveland might be able to win this a little bit more comfortably, but this is not a good division, fellas. This time I'm going to start with you, Chandler. Your thoughts on the American League Central?
I'm not surprised the Twins are struggling. This is the team that ruined Miguel Sano. This guy was a 300-plus hitter, and you said, we want home runs, we want home runs, we want home runs, and you ruined them. You can't keep Byron Buxton healthy, so you're doing nonsense like, oh, we're going to take him out of this and let him DH. And that's not working. And then you trade away your best player. Yeah. And your farm system is now trash. And the Minnesota Twins, for decades, were one of the best-run teams when it comes to player development. And see, Max Kepler, nope. It's I don't know what the hell's going on in Minnesota. To me, this is a total teardown at this point. It's a total teardown at this point. Everybody got to go. Manager, general manager, everybody goes. Everybody goes. That's what I would do. It's I got to start over because I don't know what the hell's going on. Cleveland is Cleveland. They struggle in the first half. Come the second half, Terry makes a couple of good speeches. They bring up a couple of guys, and they're going to win the division. Excuse me. And I'm saying this now. Kansas City next season are going to be this season's Baltimore Orioles.
Mm.
I'm not that's sure it. About that one. That's a pretty bold statement. I like some of their pieces. You know, MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt. I'm not sure that they have enough pitching yet to still be in that statement. But, yeah, I mean, everybody thought coming into this year that Kansas City, Detroit, a couple years away, let's see what they have. And neither one of them made a big jump this year. But you're probably not the only one that will predict that going into next season. Real quick, Villain, and I want to hear your thoughts on this division. But before we get off the Twins, I just want to point out how many Minnesota Twins players are now all over the major leagues on other rosters. Eddie Rosario in Atlanta. Spencer Steer, who's been really good in Cincinnati. We're going to get to Cincinnati in a few minutes. But he was part of that trade that brought them Tyler Mahle, who hasn't really pitched any for them. Lamonte Wade in San Francisco. Another Minnesota Twin player, Tyler Wells, who has, we talked about earlier, kind of stabilized that Baltimore rotation a little bit. Another guy who was a Rule 5 pickup from the Minnesota Twins. The crazy thing is, people want to blame Rocco Baldelli and all this, and I get it. But at some point, you got to look at the people in baseball ops and look at how many different moves they made and look at how many of these moves didn't work out. And look at how many of these guys are contributing all over the major leagues for other franchises and say, maybe it's not just the manager. Maybe it's not just the coaching staff. Maybe it's the people that are pulling the trigger and making the moves and flipping this roster that are causing us to be in such a dire situation. Villain, you got thoughts on the American League Central?
I think it stinks. Nothing to say, dude. Thanks.
All right. Short and sweet. I like it. Let's go to the American League West. We'll hit that division, then we'll move over and hit the National League one time. Looking at the American League West, right now Texas Rangers in first place. Chandler and I both told you guys the Rangers are going to be something serious. They are 49-32 at the halfway point, so they're on pace to win 98 games. The Angels with a recent hot streak have gotten a few games over 500. I think they're sitting third right now. Houston was actually sitting third.
Houston's in
second right now. LA's in third.
Yeah.
Seattle's a team that I thought was going to come up this year, and they still haven't. They're sitting in fourth place, and then the worst team in baseball, the Oakland A's. Listen, if the Angels can continue to figure it out on the mound and get some quality outings from Reed Detmers and Ohtani, This team could contend for a wild card. You know, if they fall on their face in the next month, what will happen with Ohtani, we'll see. But the Angels are an interesting story to me. Chandler, you and I called the Rangers, and they've done this without the services really of Jake DeGrom. Houston's still kind of figuring some things out. We'll see what they are. And we know where Oakland's going to finish. Chandler, what are your thoughts on the American League West?
Artie Moreno needs to sell that damn team. It's a damn shame that for the entirety of Mike Trout's career, he has consistently allowed his baseball people to put trash on the field around them. It is what it is. Stop telling me how great Shohei Ohtani is when he is two home runs, pitches seven innings of two-hit ball, and they lose the game. Okay? They're losing games. He is literally doing everything, and they're losing games. So do him a favor. Trade him. Trade Trout. Artie Moreno, sell the damn team. But Bruce Bochy was a Hall of Fame manager before he got to Texas. Unlike the White Sox, they brought in a non-washed-up Hall of Fame manager, and this is the results you see. Jacob DeGrom or not, that pitching staff is going to pitch because Bruce Bochy has always had good pitching staffs. So I'm not really shocked by anything that's going on in the American League West.
This is the only division that could challenge for one of the wild card spots. There's three of them, and I think at least two come out of the East. Dylan, your thoughts on the American League West?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty darn good division. I mean, you know, Seattle has been a disappointment for me as well. I didn't think the Rangers were going to be this good. Congratulations to them getting four all-star starters, you know, in there. Corey Seager having a hell of a season, right? Hitting, what, 340-something, 344, 345. He's been phenomenal. The catcher, Hines, is legit. You know, he's having a hell of a season, too. Saw him up close over the weekend against the Yankees. So, Houston, they're going to be right there. They're not going to go anywhere. The Angels, you know, it's about time that they get into the playoffs. I've had enough of this team not getting to the playoffs. They have the best player in baseball, and they've had the best player in our decade, in our lifetime right now, in Mike Trout, who has never sniffed the playoffs. It's a disgrace that this team can't get into the playoffs. If they don't get to the playoffs this year, I said it last night, I'll say it again, Shohei will be a Dodger.
All right, so I think that covers that. Let's hit the three divisions in the National League. I'll start out west. Arizona doing their thing. Corbin Carroll leading an impressive group of young kids. They brought in a couple of veterans, too, like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Looking at that franchise, they're sitting first place right now. The Giants are right there with the hodgepodge of guys. But they've now brought up some younger guys, too, and Patrick Phillips behind the plate and Luis Matos in center field to go along with Estrada. And then they got the veterans like Michael Conforto and Doc Peterson to complement young guys like Estrada and Wade, looking at what San Francisco has done. And they always seem to find a way to fix pitchers, Alex Cobb and Alex Wood, going along with Logan Webb and Anthony DeSclafani on that roster. So, the Giants might have a little bit of staying power. Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers. The Padres, man, just dropped another series to Pittsburgh this week and Colorado sitting last place. But the Padres are much closer to the bottom than the top right now. I'll start with you on this one, Villain. Thoughts on the National League West?
Surprise with the Diamondbacks, you know, Corbin's he made the All-Star team as well as a starter, so shout out to him. They're having a phenomenal season. Dodgers will be there. I would say the Padres are the biggest disappointment, but there's a team in New York that said, hold my beer. So not sure what's going on in the Dodgers. Soho comes to San Diego, and they can't. That's a disgrace out there. That's a disgrace.
Chandler, your thoughts from the National League West?
Fire the manager in San Diego. They screwed around with Fernando Tatis because they wanted to make an example of him. And he's not an outfielder. He's a shortstop. You let this team come into this season thinking all they had to do was throw their caps on the field. This is on the manager. This is on the manager. I'm sorry. You got a team full of guys who think they've done something. And if you listen to the manager in the offseason, he sounded like he thought, we have arrived. No, you haven't, bruh. You didn't win a damn thing. So, for me, I fired a manager, but I like firing managers. But I'm not surprised. Well, I'm not surprised Nashville West, in a sense of I thought Arizona had enough talent to contend. I didn't know if they would. But the fact that they are, dude, that team is ultra-loaded. And I'm going to keep saying this. Ketel Marte is the best player no one is mentioning.
Ketel Marte is a fantastic player. Nice second baseman. Can even play some center field if you needed him to. But Ketel Marte is a nice player, for sure. And then even their complementary pieces. Josh Rojas can hit it a little bit. Perdomo can pick it at shortstop. So can Ahmed and Christian Walker. I mean, listen, this team has a lot of talent. The thing that Arizona has to figure out, to me, and what's going to make the difference as to whether or not they stick around in these standings, they got to go get at least one more arm. They are very good when Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly start. When neither one of those guys are the starting pitcher, their starting ERA is like 6 or something. So they need to at least go get one other arm for that rotation, I feel like. Looking at the National League Central, the team has gotten crazy hot. They ran into Baltimore this week and had a little bit of trouble with the Braves last weekend. But 3 games that were all one run, decided by one run. The Cincinnati Reds, the youth is here. I just mentioned Spencer Steer, who was part of that trade with Minnesota last year. Ellie De La Cruz hit for the first cycle that the Reds have seen since Eric Davis in 1989. This team had their longest winning streak since 1957. You got Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain, which have both been really good. T.J. Friedl started to figure out center field and that leadoff spot in the batting order. A guy like Jonathan India, who's still just a few years out of college, has given some veteran leadership, some leadership to that team. This team's got a lot of talent. Nick Senzel may be a trade piece. Will Benson. There's so much talent on this team. Across the board, Joey Votto coming back to be a DH. And he's bringing a little bit of pop. This is definitely going to be his last ride. But Cincinnati, a lot of good young arms as well. Hunter Green has been banged up. Nick Lodolo, Graham Ashcraft, another kid they got from Minnesota who they're really excited about that's on his way up as well. So this Cincinnati pitching staff, Andrew Abbott has been really, really good for them since he's come up, left-hander. This team is probably the most explosive team in this division. But looking around, I like what I'm seeing out of Cincinnati. Milwaukee's hanging in there. The Cubs are in third. Pittsburgh's falling to fourth. And to me, for my money, you guys mentioned disappointing teams. To me, the most disappointing team, because of what the expectations were for them going into the year, and I know what Chandler's going to say in response, fire this manager, but the St. Louis Cardinals have really underachieved based on what everybody's expectations were for them this year. So I think I started with Dylan last time. I'm going to go to you first, Chandler. Your thoughts on the National League Central, the second worst division in baseball.
I wouldn't say that. I would say it's the most promising division in baseball. You have a lot of young teams that are starting to realize that they can play, that they can win. I know where Pittsburgh is, but Pittsburgh started off well. They're playing well. They're not quite talented enough yet. But O'Neill
right.
Cruz,
right.
Tucapito Moreno, who I was going to call his last name Macarena, but I had to look it up, Moreno. you got some good young players in Pittsburgh. They just need a little more. Cincinnati, they just need a little more. The next thing, the Cubs. The Cubs are actually playing well, you know.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to be sellers. We know this. Cody Bellinger, welcome to the Bronx, because you're going to be our left fielder. You should have been from the entire season, but that's a whole other conversation. So I like the National League Central because I see a lot of teams on the come. Now, as far as the Cardinals, I said this I think it was the second week of the season, if I'm not correctly, where Ali Marmol called out Tyler O'Neill and said he was being lazy and not hustling. And then he benched him, and then he doubled down on it. When Tyler O'Neill is that grit, that gritty, gutty, he's Brett Gardner with more talent, way more talent. But he's that guy on the team that everybody loves who always hustles. That's not the guy you throw under the bus, Ali. See, Marmol is starting to feel the heat. And I'm a, yes, yes, I absolutely do. And I said this the second week of the season, fire Oliver Marmol. Fire him now, St. Louis, so that you can actually play well.
So looking at this, Dylan, I want to hear your thoughts on this, but real quick, segue to this Wednesday's Major League Draft. I mentioned the two kids from LSU who some people think may go one or two. The next guy that a lot of people consider the top three is that center fielder from Florida, Wyatt Langford. Pittsburgh has a big pick here because there's a chance with this first pick of the draft that they could get a guy who has a chance to be good for a long time. If I were them, I would take the pitcher Paul Skeens. I just think that as a small market franchise, if you have the ability to draft a guy who could be a potential ace at some point in the future, or if people think that he has the ability to maybe be that guy, I think you draft him. Everybody looks for pitching, and so I think you go with Skeens right there with that pick. Dylan, your thoughts on the National League Central?
Yeah, I think it's a young division. I think they're a year away from really being a good division. I'm really disappointed in the Cardinals. I don't think they're the biggest disappointment, but they just can't seem to get it going. They just, you know what I mean? Like every time you think they're about to turn the corner, they take two steps back. They just can't get it going. And I'm really happy for the Reds fans in Cincinnati. They're a young team that's playing, you know, a little above their head. And I think they can, you know, I think they're – if they keep it up, they're a year or two ahead schedule, and I like what I see from that young team.
So, Chandler, if you were going to pick between those guys and you're the Pirates, do you take the pitcher or do you go with the 5-2 outfielder?
I go with the outfielder because I can get a pitcher. I can get pitchers. I can sign pitchers. There's always going to be pitchers. Give me position players and let me build up my team, and then I'll get the pitching. But that's always been me. I'll go get pitching because pitcher's always going to come available, like sign up a free agency, whatever. And miss me with the small market. If you're a billionaire and you own a sports team, I don't want to hear you talking about you don't have the money to contend. Then sell the damn team.
So for me, I would normally agree with you and go with the outfielder. The only reason I would go with the pitcher in this case, this is free and easy, 100 out of his hand. I think this is not a guy who is going to be a 3 or 4 starter. I think he has the potential to be an ace. But I don't think you can go wrong with either of those three picks. But I would be hard-pressed not to take the pitcher here. Real quick, let's hit one more division. National League Central. I'm sorry, National League East. The Atlanta Braves have had one of the best months that this franchise has seen. They're 20-4 in the month of June. You know, Philly's gotten hot, won like 14 out of 17. So have the Marlins, but they couldn't make up any games. But they're at least keeping their head above water in this race. The Braves are getting production up and down the lineup. Orlando Arcia made the All-Star team as a starter. Ronald Acuna has been, you guys can argue with me all you want, but Ronald Acuna has been the best all-around player in baseball so far this year. And then they're getting pop up and down the lineup. They finally moved Matt Olson out of the two-hole. He had no sense being there as a 235-240 hitter and put him in more of a spot where he can drive in more runs. And he's second place in major leagues in home runs right now. So this team's getting it done throughout the lineup. Rosario and Osuna are starting to kind of come around too. So can they get Freed back and some other pieces on their pitching staff? But they've been finding a way to make it work. throughout the year. Philly is starting to find their stride. Bryce Harper still got to find some power. This Marlins team is a nice team, actually. They got a good roster put together. They can pitch with guys like Soler and Cooper and now Chisholm back. And you got some other guys around Arias that can hit the ball. You know, you mentioned the Mets earlier, man. Wow. I don't know what to say about the Mets right now. And then the Nationals, man, a lot of young guys still learning on the job. You know they're not going to be in contention this year. But I think there's a lot of good young players on that team getting experience that are going to benefit them over the next couple of years. Let me come to you, Barry, first on this one and get your thoughts on the National League East.
You know, the Braves are not a surprise. They're the best team in the National League. They would be the best team in baseball if it wasn't for the hot start of the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, Ronald Acuna, I don't think he's the best all-around player this season. You can't say that when you have Shohei out there. But Ronald Acuna is my guy. I love that guy. I think he's my second favorite player in the league right behind Aaron Judge. So, you know, the Marlins, man, they had a good year, right, 2 years ago. Last year they fell backwards. But they had a youth movement that, you know, people could kind of get behind. Jazz Chisholm, he's back, he's healthy. They got an all-star at second base. You know, they're a really good team, so they're dangerous. Philly's hanging in there. You know, I think, you know, their pitching is kind of what's keeping them in it. The Mets are a joke. They're possibly sellers. 360 million reasons why this team is the biggest disappointment in baseball right now. I can't watch it. I want to watch it. I said it last night. It's hard for me to watch a Met game, just for personal reasons. Obviously, with my, you know, my dad, you know, being a Met fan, but even if I could, I can't watch this team. They are beyond a little league team. Like, they're a T-ball team right now. The errors and the mistakes that they make, they can't put it together. They're a joke.
Ken, I'm going to come to you real quick. Your thoughts on the National League East?
I wanted Buck Showalter to be hired when he was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I said, though, was Buck is not the guy to get you over the hump. Buck is the guy who can get you – he can get you in line for the VIP, but he ain't going to get you in. He ain't getting you in the club, all right? But he can get you in line. You understand what I'm saying? He can get you to the door. He's not getting you inside. Last season was when they should have moved off of Buck after last season. He refuses to play young players. He refuses to use relievers when he's supposed to. Anybody remember Mariano Rivera in 1995? Anybody remember the game the other night where he had two relievers who were rested and he chose not to use them? I understand why you're not going to fire Buck, but Buck is the problem. You brought up Mark Vientos and you didn't play him, and then Buck says after the game, well, maybe he'd do better somewhere else. And then he had to fix that and say, well, I meant another position. No, you didn't, Buck. No, you didn't. You don't want to play these young guys. You've been forced to play Alvarez because he's been so good. You refuse to bring up Barry. Is it
Ronald Mauricio?
Ronald
Mauricio.
There you go.
Mauricio.
Yeah.
You refuse to bring him and Vientos up because you believe in Daniel Vogelbach. I like Daniel Vogelbach. Daniel Vogelbach can be a really useful piece on a team. It's time for him to go. Time for him to go. Okay? But Buck refuses to do this. So Buck is the problem. He is. But I understand why Cohen doesn't want to blow him out, because he's trying to show David Stearns that he's not this impulsive fan who's just going to fire everybody. I get it. This is going to be a lost season for the Mets. I just watched the game tonight. This team has no oomph, you know. And the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos has been possessed by the spirit of John Schuerholz. Because this is the David Justice, Greg Maddux Braves we're looking at here, people. Think about those Braves teams that John Schuerholz built and tell me what's the difference between these teams. Tell me the difference. There isn't
one. This team's better offensively. That's the only difference.
I don't know. I think
this
team's better offensively.
The other team was a little bit better on the mound. But we're going to see what happens when they get the rest of these pieces healthy in the rotation. But, no, you're right.
Exactly. So,
but you're right. This is very much resembling what they built in the 90s.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this again. Jazz Chisholm is not an outfielder. He's not an outfielder. Jazz Chisholm is not an outfielder. Stop taking guys out of the natural positions because they're athletic. So, oh, you can play anywhere. Baseball is not plug and play, man. Dave Parker was an all-star right fielder. He was a bum in left field. Some guys can only play certain positions, just how they're wired. There are guys who can play multiple positions. Everybody's not that. Jazz Chisholm is a second baseman. He's not an outfielder. If they keep him in the outfield, he's going to keep getting hurt. But I do like what the Marlins are doing, but I'm going to say this again. Jazz Chisholm is not an outfielder.
Well, and the thing is, if you look at what he brings you average-wise, it's not a lot of power what you normally expect from the position. But Luis Arraez is actually a very good defensive first baseman. He's an average defensive second baseman. But he's a good, good defensive first baseman. And so you can put Chisholm in at second base and put Arraez over at first. You have the DH now to rotate guys through. But we'll see. I mean, Arraez is going to be there for a while. So will Chisholm. So we'll see how that evolves. Just kind of going around looking at everything, though. Second half should be fun. I will say this, though. I'm kind of enjoying the balanced schedule a little bit because I like seeing how – and I understand reasons against it, too – but I do enjoy seeing how these divisions match up against each other. That's fun for me to see because you can actually compare a little bit. But changes have come to baseball. We have seen more activity on the base pass. The game has been moving. Not all change is good change, but, you know, this is baseball's sweet spot, if you will, right? They just had the Cosmos Series over. The draft is next week, the All-Star break, the Hall of Fame. All this stuff comes up over the next month and a half or so until, you know, once you get into August and September, people will be paying much more attention to what's going on the gridiron. But at least baseball has a chance to capture some people's attention to at least keep an eye on things throughout the week and maybe through the playoffs. But it's fun this year. I mean, for me to see that the Dodgers and the Astros are not, you know, far ahead in their divisions, almost got playoff spots locked up, to see the Cardinals sucking it up this year, to see young guys from the Reds really coming up and making an impact, and to see more young talent coming. The Major League game is continuing to be infused with young talent, so that's a lot of fun for me to see. Baseball's not in a bad place as far as the talent goes. They still need to do a better job of marketing things. So real quick, before we get to any closeouts, is there any other topics that either one of you guys want to throw out before we get ready to close the doors here on this Thursday night?
Yeah, anybody that has Prime Video, you need to put it on. I'm sorry, go ahead, Barry.
I was just going to say, I'm about to take off. UConn's the best team. Chandler, love you, bro. Later, Mike.
Love you too, Gary. Peace.
If you have Prime Video, turn it on. You have the Liberty and the Aces playing tonight. We got Super Team versus Super Team. We got Brianna. We got Sabrina. We got Asia. You know what I'm saying? Listen. These are the teams that are going to be in the WNBA Finals. This is your preview tonight, so take a look at it. Other than that, man, it's a lot of fun tonight. As always, I'll tell anybody, but especially my veterans, say yes. say yes. Whatever it is, say yes. The worst thing to happen is you don't have a good time. Don't forget 988, option one. If you just need to talk, especially 22 veterans commit suicide a day. So if you need to talk to another vet, and having been around some other vets recently, I've forgotten how much I missed being able to talk to another veteran, people who understand me. So if you just need to talk to somebody who's actually going to understand what the hell you're talking about, 988, option one. And as always, Will Levis is trash, and LSU's never going to win a national championship.
Hey, listen, LSU might win one in football this year, bro. We'll see what happens. I agree with you about Will Levis wholeheartedly. I definitely appreciate you, Taylor. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for sending that message out, because a lot of times it's even more powerful coming from a veteran. So I appreciate you on the lookout for that each and every week. This show would not be – listen, gumbo is spicy. We call this roundtable gumbo, and it wouldn't be what it is or have nearly the spice without you. So pleasure and a privilege, man. Thank you for co-hosting with me as always, and for helping take care of the scheduling and all those things that are not as accessible. So always a pleasure, man. Thanks again. Listen, for the villain, man, joining us tonight, for Sirius, who's joined us in previous shows, to the head honcho, TP Timeless himself. Without him, I wouldn't be here, and he's brought a lot of us together, man. So check out our other shows. We have the Time of Sunday Morning Brunch on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, College Cookout on Wednesdays. We'll be back to some front office shows with the NFL on Tuesday nights coming up pretty soon. I've heard talk from Timeless, too, about us coming up with a tailgating show again this Saturday during college football season. So check out the blog, websites, all the things we got going on, sportscitychefs.com. Remember, you can listen to us on your smart speakers, any other devices. Just tell it to play Sports City Chefs. Like and subscribe. All the numbers help us, man. Don't forget about phiapparel.co. And every once in a while, keep an eye out for the barbershop on Clubhouse. We'll be opening rooms from time to time. But I'll give you my sign off, and then the one that Timeless always gives for everybody, man. As we always say in Southern Louisiana, laissez les bons temps rouler, go Tigers. And as Timeless would always say to close everything out, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know. Peace, we out.